Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Summer is a little bit different this year, but it's still a wonderful time to get out, explore, and learn new things. All summer long, every Tuesday on Talk of Iowa, it's summer camp. We'll be exploring a different topic, and today, cooking camp. Our camp counselors are Katie Meyer of the Trumpet Blossom Cafe in Iowa City and Kumar Wickramasinghe of Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison. They'll be sharing advice and recipes for budding chefs this hour. And you're welcome to join the conversation if you have some kitchen questions for them. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100 or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Katie Meyer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Well, thank you for being here. And the Trumpet Blossom Cafe is a restaurant in Iowa City. You focus on creative seasonal dishes with fresh Iowa ingredients. It's also a vegan restaurant. That means that you don't use any animal products in your food. Katie, how long has Trumpet Blossom been open?
We've been open just a little over 8 years.
All right. And how are things going in the world of COVID-19 for you guys?
We're doing okay. We've been doing just curbside pickup and delivery through a local delivery service, Chomp, for a couple months now. It's okay. I'm currently at the restaurant looking out the window at a giant excavator. So we have some construction down here. So it's actually kind of okay that the dining room is not open. It'd be a little inhospitable anyway. So
all right. So it was going to be It was going to be a strange summer for you, no matter how you looked at it.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And Kumar Wickramasinghe, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. Great honor.
And Elliott Test Kitchen, as I mentioned, is in Fort Madison. It's also the home of the Test Kitchen Educational Foundation. So kids come to you not just to learn how to cook, but also to learn a whole lot of other things through tutoring and study groups as well. And Kumar, right now, the Test Kitchen is mostly virtual, right?
That's right. That's correct. Since March, the pandemic happened, we decided to go online.
All right. So you have been doing online cooking classes with kids throughout this. Tell me what you're doing this summer.
Well, so we are actually kind of waiting to see. We normally, like every summer, we have a couple of cooking camps, the history camp, the robotic. So our kind of like a 4 to 5 day worth the long camps we do, but we are kind of waiting to see what the new guidelines are going to be starting June, the new guidelines coming out on June 25th. So we want to kind of see before we get into advertising our camps for the summer.
All right. Well, and I sat in on one of your sessions yesterday, so right now you do have kids joining you virtually and learning about different things in the world. Yesterday they learned about the Netherlands, and they learned how to make hot dogs wrapped in puff pastry, right?
That's right. That's right. It was an international day. We even had several guests from Netherlands joining us, so that was quite an honor. And thank you for joining us, too, Charity. That was great.
Well, it was fun to be there. So this hour, we're going to talk about getting started in the kitchen. And I realize that there are lots and lots of young people out there who are already doing a lot of cooking. So if you are one of those young people and you have any questions for Katie or Kumar today, I'm sure they can help you out if you've run into any hiccups. But Katie, tell me, when did you first start cooking?
So I came to it a little bit later on. I would say not until, you know, my late teens and early 20s. I always, you know, grew up cooking a little bit, but we didn't ever have big extravagant dinners, and there weren't like recipes that were handed down for generations or any like rosy stories like that. It was totally normal and fine, pretty typical Midwestern, you know, childhood growing up with food and everything. But I just came to it, when I went to college, I got a job cooking, and then I realized I really liked it, and so I decided to pursue it.
What really got you hooked? What made you fall in love with it?
I think it was just a way for me to use the creativity that I had always wanted to be able to share with people, and, cooking and feeding people is, you get a it's instant gratification when someone eats something that you made and they enjoy it. I don't know. I get a kick out of that, and it's a fun way to highlight, you know, what the earth provides for us. And that's something I've learned a lot about over the years through the cooking, is just all the local produce that we have in the area and how that's just unique to each environment, but also, you know, something that people enjoy everywhere.
I want to dig down a little bit on what you were saying about that feeling of seeing someone else eat something that you cook, because I think a lot of us as kids, we get into the kitchen because we want to make something for ourselves. For me, I started cooking, not that I'm a particularly great cook, but I started cooking because my mom wouldn't make cookies. So I was forced to make cookies myself. But there is something really powerful about serving something that you make to someone else. Tell me more about that feeling, Katie.
Yeah, I guess it makes me think of, like, if you create a work of art, if you make a painting or you write a story or something, you can share that with someone and you can get their feedback and their reaction, but it's not as visceral and it's not as immediate as making a plate of food for someone and them, you know, ingesting that and enjoying it and giving you, their opinion immediately. And, you know, you're always hopeful that they enjoy it. And I guess I am kind of a people pleaser as well. So it's something that I enjoy. You know, I'm usually in the kitchen, so I don't, it's not like I'd stand there and watch everyone eat the food, but it is nice to hear the compliments and to know that, you know, people have really enjoyed what I've put a little bit of myself into every time I make something. So, yeah.
Kumar, you grew up in Sri Lanka. When did you start cooking?
Oh, actually, you know, my mom was a home ec teacher. She thinks, you know, she claims my passion for cooking comes from her. But
is she right?
I don't know. So growing up in, you know, third world country, we always want to come to, you know, United States. So I, at that particular time, I decided to go into the hotel and restaurant management, because I knew if I come to United States in any time, I have something to I have some job I can get easily just coming here and you know, getting into the restaurant business. So that's how I got myself into the cooking business. So I went to the hotel and restaurant management, and I had my all degrees and work in a fancy hotels, but, you know, came to United States as an immigrant and started all back up as a dishwasher and worked my way up. So I think it's still in there. Even now, I left the restaurant industry for about an 8-year period, but I always find myself coming back to it.
Well, let's talk about getting started in the kitchen. I think that a lot of kids get excited about cooking because of television these days. There are so many cooking shows, cooking competitions. It's a lot of fun to watch people cook and to use creative ideas and come up with things. But a lot of those things that we see people make on television are extremely complicated. And I know in my own household, my kids have wanted to jump into the deep end instead of start with some simple ideas. So, Kumar, why don't you start us up? If you are new to the kitchen, what are some of the very important things that you need to learn about so that you can start making some really delicious food?
I think today it is so simple to get back into the cooking for anyone with the modern technology. So, for example, when I was working in the restaurant industry, I think this is like 80s and 90s, we were not allowing people to carry their cell phones in the kitchen because we're thinking it's a distraction. But somehow in like a 2008, when I was in the restaurant industry, I welcomed them carrying in there, because this generation lost that fear of cooking For example, they need to make meatballs. All they do is just Google search and put that phone right in front of them, and then they have no fear of putting that, following that instruction through. So my point is, I think there's so many tools out there, and you know, first thing to do is get that fear out. Oh my gosh, I will not be able to cook this dish. And you can just simply follow and use the tools we have. And my favorite is, I'm a big YouTuber because I really wanted to see visually how any recipe get done. And that's my advice. You know, just let's not be fear, and let's follow someone, and you do not know what you're going to come up with, and it's going to be delicious.
All right. So lean into modern technology. Katie, what are your thoughts about some basic things that people need to learn? Because even when we watch some of those videos and some of those how-to things, there are terms that people use in cooking that we may not be familiar with, or they ask us to do something even as simple as peel an apple, and that's not an easy skill.
Yeah, so I would definitely agree with what Kumar is saying about using the internet to your advantage. And then I guess just, it's almost like with any new skill, you just have to practice, and you have to expect that you're going to make mistakes, and that's going to be okay. And as far as peeling an apple and things like that, yeah, just practice. I mean, there are even, you know, there are knives that are made for kids that are safer, and so just using the right tools and asking for help when you need it, and definitely just practice. And yeah, I mean, I guess as far as, this isn't like exactly what you asked, but as far as cooking with recipes and things, I don't know. I like to think about things that I like to eat, and then search out recipes for those things, and then try those recipes and put my own spin on them. And I think it is important to, if you're not experienced in the kitchen and maybe you don't have a lot of confidence to when you're starting out, to use a recipe as a guide, but you don't have to follow it exactly every time. You know, you can always make it your own. So yeah, definitely I would echo what Kumar says about not being afraid, and yeah, just practice and you know, share your creations and see what people have to say.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Talk of Iowa Summer Camp today, Cooking Camp, with Katie Meyer of Trumpet Blossom Cafe in Iowa City and Kumar Wickramasinghe of Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa Summer Camp on the air today. It's Cooking Camp, and our camp counselors today are Kumar Wickramasinghe of Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison and Katie Meyer of Trumpet Blossom Cafe in Iowa City. And we're going to talk about some specific recipes as the hour goes on. We also would love to hear from you. What have you been cooking this summer? Have you had some great successes that you want to brag about a little bit? We'd love to hear about that. Or if you have any questions for Katie or Kumar, give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Let's talk about recipes for a few minutes, because Kumar, as you said, there are recipes available everywhere now. So you can go online, you can punch in ingredients, you can punch in whatever you want to make, and you're going to come back with something. So, Kumar, is there some advice that you can share about picking a recipe that you're going to experience success with if you look online? Are there any do's and don'ts we should be thinking about?
I can speak for myself here, my practices. You know, when I'm looking for a recipe, of course, even if I get a cookbook, I always love to see the pictures. And but the same way, there are some, I'm telling you right now, if you go in, online, if you search a video of how to make something, I first go for the one take the least amount of time. There are sometimes people make same dish in a 2 minute video, or sometimes you can watch them in a 20 minutes. So, you know, it's depending on how much time you want to spend. And so that's one of the tools I look for, something really short but to the point. So So with that, my only recommendation is once you find, I'm talking to the internet right now, once you find your favorite chef or someone, I try to stick to it because I kind of start their language. I know their tricks. You know, I know they always, you know, how they stir a sauce or, you know, something to that manner. So that's my only advice when you're picking for a recipe. Find something, you know, short that's not going to bore you. And then number two, and stick to a couple of chefs you like and then learn from that and then move on to the next one.
All right, Katie, any other thoughts when you're looking for recipes online? Maybe pitfalls not to fall into?
Yeah, I would agree with Kumar there on all of the things that he said. Also, it's helpful sometimes to read. There are reviews that people leave of the recipes that they've tried and just see what other people's experiences have been. And if they possibly bring up any questions that you might have that have been answered by the creator of the recipe. And definitely, yeah, like Kumar said, to find maybe a website that you like or a certain chef or a YouTube channel and stick with that.
So when my kids cook, one of the pieces of advice that I give them, and they don't listen, but I still give it every single time, is that before you start cooking, you should read the recipe all the way through. Katie, this sounds like this resonates with you. Why do you think that's an important thing to do?
Well, it's just so it's really important to be prepared and to make sure that you have all the ingredients that you're going to need and that you just to I don't really like surprises. So I like to know what I should expect and if I'm going to need to let something rest for an hour or if I need to use a certain kitchen tool or something like that. Or if I, you know, if I don't have one of the ingredients, can I make a substitution or do I need to, you know, should I have everything chopped beforehand? Is that going to be to my benefit? Things like that. No, I just laugh because that's a thing that we say in the kitchen a lot is, you know, yeah, read the recipe all the way through.
All right. So it's something that bears very good repeating advice. No matter how old you are, read the recipe yes. all the way through. Yeah. I mean, you can run into all kinds of surprises. I think that the common pitfalls that I see my children falling into is if there's an ingredient that needs to be divided and used in two different
yes.
parts of the recipe, they'll toss it all in the first time that it's called for. But there are also surprises like, oh, I need a double boiler. Mom, where is the double boiler? That's not. Mm-hmm. And what is a double boiler, for
yeah.
example? So there are some surprises that can come up. And we talked about knives earlier, and I think that a lot of parents are afraid to let their children use knives. But if you're gonna really cook, you really have to be able to chop things up. So, Katie, do you have some basic advice for us about learning to use knives safely? Because we can get into a lot of trouble with them.
Sure, I guess, you know, so I do always say that a sharp knife is a safe knife, right? So if your knife is sharp, then it's going to slice through things more easily. A dull knife is going to take more force and you're more likely to slip and cut yourself. Can also be intimidating to work with a sharp knife, but that's something that you should get comfortable with if that's, you know, if you plan to do a lot of chopping and cooking. And like I said, you know, there are knives that are made for kids. I actually haven't bought one for my kid yet, but there are ones that are safer and they have different size blades and the handle is, you know, for smaller hands. And they do have, you know, I'm sure that there are like learning knives out there that you can try and just to go slowly at first too. You know, it's really neat to be able to chop things really quickly, but you know, you're not in the kitchen to impress anyone with your knife skills when you're just at home, you know, following a recipe. So taking it slow at first and yeah, just getting comfortable with it. I mean, it's definitely a new skill for a lot of people. So again, just practice and be safe and take it slow.
All right. And it's another great thing to use the internet for, to look for knife safety instruction. I know that it's out there online. Kumar, let's talk about heat. That's another thing that sometimes kids can get into trouble with in the kitchen. When you have kids in the kitchen at Elliott Test Kitchen, what do you tell them about not getting burnt?
The first thing, you know, we kind of make sure a lot of kids, you know, according to their height, so sometimes, you know, we got to make sure the kid is in a proper height, you know, at least they can see the pot they're working with clearly. And, you know, number one thing is like, you know, moving the handle, you know, away where no one can bump into that. But I always go with the height theory. So if someone is like really not high enough to see what they're cooking, definitely not working with the heat. But then, you know, I kind of starting gradually, you know, all of a sudden I would not make them make a fudge or anything right away. So the first, you know, like a little breading a piece of chicken and putting into a sauteing pan and, you know, telling them to stay back and kind of like teaching those tricks the first. And I want to add one thing to the knife you guys were talking about. I always, one of my theories at the kitchen is I start with a smaller knife. So when kids come cooking for the first time, I always give them a really small knife to cut up a piece of celery or something. Then I gradually mm-hmm. increase them to the bigger knife. So I do not give them a big chef knife and, you know, make him do an onion right away. So that's my thoughts.
All right. And so we are going to read the recipes all the way through. We're not going to get burned. We're not going to get cut. Let's talk about some things that would be fun to make. And now my kids always gravitate toward desserts, but we're going to save desserts for the end of this conversation. And Katie, let's talk about putting together maybe a simple summer salad that could be something that you could make for the whole family. What a fun surprise for mom and dad after work someday to come home and find that you've made a delicious salad for dinner. So let's talk about how to get started with salads.
Sure. So one thing that I like to do, especially this time of year, is to just include as many colorful veggies as I can. So you know, try and think about the colors of the rainbow and if you can get, you know, as many of those colors in there as possible. So things that kids and adults both like, stuff like, you know, sweet peppers, the little mini sweet peppers that come in usually like red and orange and yellow, and sugar snap peas are in season right now and they're delicious. My kid surprised me and ate like an entire pint of sugar snap peas the other day. So veggies like that, and also things that provide texture, like crunchy things are usually really enjoyable for everybody. So, you know, chopping those up and including those in a salad. And one thing I like to do is to, if I'm making pasta one night, I'll make extra noodles and I'll save some and chill them and make, you know, kind of a pasta salad. I feel like that's a nice thing to have in the summer, a nice chilled pasta salad. And you can include a ton of fresh greens in there too, like spinach or chard or, you know, fresh leaf lettuce. Also fresh herbs are great in salads, like basil or parsley or dill. So just something that's really colorful and pleasing to the eye also is nice. And then, you know, you could definitely make your own dressing, but don't be afraid to just use a bottled dressing when you're just starting out too, especially if you're trying to make something for, you know, a larger group of people. Or it's fun too if you like have a dressing that you like and then to find a recipe for a dressing that's similar to that, you know, something with pasta salad. That would go well dressing wise would be something like a, you know, like a creamy herb dressing. You could use, we use a vegan mayonnaise as a base, and you could just mix in some, you know, fresh citrus juice or bottled lemon or lime juice and some chopped fresh herbs and a little salt and pepper and toss everything together with that. And that's really enjoyable. And usually pretty kid friendly, and the adults enjoy it too. So,
it's Katie. Yeah. Obviously, you're a professional chef, and so you actually don't use recipes all that often, right?
Well, I use them as a guide, so I am. I mean, I don't know. I enjoy, you know, the bulk of what I enjoy, honestly, cooking is the creative aspect of it, and so I don't know. I feel sometimes a little hemmed in by having to follow a recipe all of the time. So, and also maybe I'll follow a recipe very strictly at first until I maybe have memorized that recipe or.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about is how, because I think a lot of us want to be like a chef. Again, we watch them on television all the time and it's so fun to watch them just throw things together. And so when we get into the kitchen, sometimes we want to be like that.
sure.
But I don't have a chef's palate or a chef's experience. And often when I experiment, I wind up with something that tastes gross. And then the whole thing is pointless. So can you give me some ideas of good ways to start improvising, some safer ways maybe to start improvising so that I can play with the flavors but not wind up with something that's not edible?
Sure. So I guess definitely taste things as you go. That's good advice for anyone who's cooking. And to get to know what something should look like and feel like as you're making it, what the, you know, if you're making a salad dressing, for instance, you don't want something that is too thick or too thin. So you want to recognize what the appropriate consistency is. And again, that's going to take practice and trial and error. And, you know, so follow a recipe the first time or the first few times to figure out what it should look like and taste like and feel like and how it should look on the plate. And then, you know, maybe you can go from there and try a few new things or a few new flavors. And just know that, like, I don't know, little tricks of if something is, you know, too sweet, you can add a little salt, or if something is too, just little tricks of like, how to balance flavors.
All right. So tasting along the way, it sounds like is a really good idea. So as you're mixing things together, you start to understand what the different ingredients do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Kumar, Katie's talking a lot about different kinds of vegetables, and I know some kids who have a hard time with different kinds of vegetables, and you get a lot of kids in the Elliott Test Kitchen. Do you have some thoughts about trying foods in new ways and maybe trying things that you think you don't like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that is one of my biggest surprise when I started the project. And then also I have made that one of my missions because I had no idea the current generation, how much they do not want to try unknown stuff. So the many kids come to our program, they have their mindset that no way I will never, ever like broccoli, or no way I will never, ever like spinach. So I get a lot of those. As a matter of fact, to the point, like when the kids come in after school and we're cooking something, they ask, okay, what's for dinner? And we're going to say broccoli and chicken casserole. And they instant, when they heard that word broccoli, they get into a panic mode. Like there's some instance, the kids even call the parents and take them home because they do not want to try the broccoli tonight.
Wow.
And so, yeah,
extreme.
I mean, it is. Yep, it is very, very surprising. So with that, we decided to kind of incorporate food, the items really slowly. Like, for example, when we make a tater tot casserole, everybody loves it. And then, we kind of incorporate some sautéed spinach to it. And, of course, they're not going to see it till they get underneath it. But surprisingly, after that, and then we kind of tell the kids, hey, this is what you ate. And then, they're kind of finding out, wow, that's not bad. But one of the other key things what we do is and this is for the advice for the parents too, once you get that kid involved in making that dish, hey, why don't we add some sautéed spinach to this tater tot casserole and see or make fun out of it, and hey, let's see whether we can add the saute spinach and see whether dad's going to like it. And the kids take a very pride in what they made, and then that's automatically lead. 90% of the time, that's going to lead into, hey, I like this. And so that's one of the proud facts about the Elliott Test Kitchen. We have turned so many kids who was fearful of a certain type of food, we have kind of taken that fear away from them, and they really like it now, and they make them at home.
Well, and I think you've just alluded to a universal truth, which is if you make it yourself, it tastes better. Is that true, Kumar?
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's so true.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Talk of Iowa Summer Camp Cooking Camp today with Kumar Wickramasinghe of Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison and Katie Meyer of Trumpet Blossom Cafe in Iowa City. You're welcome to join the conversation. We're going to talk about making some entrees and making some treats here in just a moment as well. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Talk of Iowa Summer Camp all summer long. Every Tuesday, we'll be exploring a different topic. And today, Cooking Camp, our camp counselors are Katie Meyer of Trumpet Blossom Cafe in Iowa City and Kumar Wickramasinghe of Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison. And before we get to talking about maybe some basic entrees that we could try out at home, maybe if we want to make dinner for the whole family or some good lunches. We do have some questions from some of our listeners. This is from Lance. He says, I'm fortunate enough to have a wood-fired oven in my backyard, which I built, and we love entertaining and cooking all kinds of things, especially pizzas, of course. And Katie, since you run a vegan restaurant, he's wondering if you had any thoughts about ingredients for vegan wood-fired pizza.
Oh, goodness. Well, I would definitely just say that you can make a vegan pizza very easily by just making a veggie pizza and leaving off the cheese, and don't be afraid to do that, and just including lots of fresh veggies and maybe a little extra sauce. I would say just that there are some really, I wouldn't have said this like 2 years ago, but there are some really great packaged vegan cheeses out there, even like some really nice shredded mozzarella-style ones, that I've tried on pizzas at home. Unfortunately, I'm not lucky enough to have a wood-fired oven at home, but in my regular oven, they have worked well. I would think that something really nice in the summer would be, you know, a nice pesto sauce is really flavorful and rich, and you can add things if you make your own pesto with, you know, something like walnuts. You don't always have to use pine nuts. Walnuts or pumpkin seeds are really nice. And then pesto is, you know, we're used to pesto with basil, but you can use any fresh herb really. And using that as a base for the pizza and not having any cheese on there adds a really nice flavor. Fresh tomatoes, of course, are amazing in Iowa in the summer, especially on pizza. Things that, I don't know, non-traditional toppings too, like super thinly sliced, raw potato and caramelized onions and fresh herbs, would be a fun one to try.
I'm basically hearing you say, just leave the cheese off and experiment with whatever you might want to put on there.
Pretty much. Yeah. And there are really simple recipes online for, you know, like vegan cheese, kind of like cream cheese style. You could put like a couple dollops of that on, or you could spread that on the bottom like a sauce, and that would give you kind of the same, you know, creamy texture as cheese.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about some other entree ideas, things that may be a nice entry into making dinner for the family. Robin wrote us and said, our kids enjoy assembling their own personal pan pizzas and pie plates, and they love to make their own foil pack meals for the grill. That's also pretty popular in our family as well. Kumar, you teach a lot of kids to cook. Can you give us an idea of maybe a basic entree that helps kids get that immediate gratification of success, but it's something that they can do with even pretty limited skills?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm going to give it some of my experiences. So, of course, you know, I'm working with the kids, and the whole idea is I've been very successful at it, is getting the kids to cook for their families. So, for example, one of the lessons we did was we taught them how to make sliders. So, you know, I actually even made fun of it as Kumar, go to White Castle sliders. So, of course, we used the, you know, the ground beef. But at the same time, if you go on, you know, YouTube or anywhere, online recipes, there are so many ways you can make the sliders with chicken, turkey, and many, many ingredients you can use for sliders. And actually, once kids, hey, you know what, I think these sliders are great, what I made with the beef, and I think the kids tend to go advanced to the next level. And then, you know, I started getting kids sending the pictures what they made, the breakfast sliders, and somebody did the buffalo chicken sliders. So the parents was loving it. Hey, you know, I don't have to cook dinner tonight because my daughter is cooking dinner again. So the story is the start with something fun, and then, you know, give so many variation to your kid, and then they will, you know, once the kids started hearing the instant gratification, everybody's praising their work, and they just tend to keep going.
All right, that's my experience. So sliders are fun because they're small, I guess, in some ways, but also you can be with a lot of success there. Other thoughts about things that really ignite kids' imagination, similar to that, Kumar?
Yeah, of course, you know, I mean, we can talk about the desserts. That's always, like, for example, the salads, you know, like earlier we talked about making the salads. But when it comes to kids, you know, I mean, my experience, there's no way I would have, I have taught them, you know, how to make the Italian vegetable salad with a lot of broccoli, cauliflower, and all that. But, you know, I never got respond back saying, oh, I made this for the family, maybe except one. But when I taught them how to make an apple salad with the Snickers bars, wow, I think everybody made it at home.
Okay. All right. So the treats, you consider that to be sort of a gateway for kids? I mean, like I said, that's the first thing that my kids ever wanted to make. It's the first thing I ever wanted to make when I was growing up. Do you think that starting with desserts is a good idea, Kumar?
Absolutely. So our first, you know, the mission should be to get the kid into the kitchen and interested in there, you know. So once we, you know, you got to go with the fun thing. So actually, you know, that's my mission at the Elliott Test Kitchen. Actually, our mission is not teaching them the cooking first. Our mission is education. So we want them to come and get engaged in some kind of educational activities, math, science. So we inject the food in there to keep them together, and it's really working. Yes, absolutely. You got to make it fun.
All right. One of the things, we have shared some recipes on our Facebook page, and it's also up on our website, iowapublicradio.org, if you just look for Talk of Iowa. But it's up on Facebook, it's up on Twitter, and we've shared recipes from each one of you. And we did start with dessert with these recipes. And so, Katie, why don't I let you go, and then Elliot, you can tell us about your recipe. But let's talk about your oat cookies, Katie. Tell me about these.
Sure. So, let's see. So they're just like a really, simple treat. I like to use oats because they are pretty nutritious and they're gluten-free. So you can always use a gluten-free flour.
And you can ignore all of this information if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
They don't taste bad just because they also carry some nutritional value.
Sorry, I know my first instinct is always to talk about the health aspect. Sorry. Okay, anyway, so they're delicious. They have lots of peanut butter. But again, if you're, you know, you can use almond butter, things like that. the cookie recipe is just a nice base too. Like I was saying, that you can make adjustments. You can add chocolate chips. You know, you could add raisins or nuts. And they're just really easy to make, and they're usually something that you can make with, you know, pantry ingredients. Yeah, and they're fun. And, like, I think the video that you guys posted was from when Aaron and I made them, and we made a little, like, cashew frosting because he wanted to put sprinkles on the cookies. And so you can make them fancy or you can make them just basic. So, yeah, it's fun. And it does feel better to make cookies, if you want cookies, to make cookies at home, and then you can have control over what you put in them, and they're still going to be delicious.
And they always taste better. Homemade cookies always taste better, I think, than yes. cookies you can get anywhere else. And Kumar, you were talking about learning about other things. I think cookies are a great place to also start thinking about the science of baking and the science of cooking. Kumar, is that something that you talk with your students about, how different ingredients interact with each other and do some kind of magical things?
Oh, absolutely. And actually, I was very fortunate with the great volunteer teaching staff. So I kind of work with the teachers first. Hey, I kind of tell them, hey, this is what I'm doing today. Can you come up with the science of it? And then a lot of teachers, for example, we were actually, I think one of my recipes over there is a fried strawberries. But the science lesson that day was this teacher came up with it, collecting DNA from strawberries. I even had no idea. They said one of the fruits have the most DNA, and most the fruit that DNA can be collected really easy is the strawberries. So, you know, we always incorporate something science with the food.
Well, and in thinking about cookies, Katie, I was thinking about the Maillard reaction and how cookies brown. And I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's what makes cookies taste so delicious, is the part that gets brown. That's why we make cookies instead of bars, right?
I mean, right.
We can make bars, yeah. But that's why I make cookies.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Kumar, tell us about these fried strawberries. Take everybody's favorite fruit and make it even more delicious.
Yeah, actually, there's not a day go by somebody call and ask, hey, when you going to have your fried strawberry, or are you cooking that again? So there's a story behind it. I gained this recipe from a friend of mine in Biloxi, Mississippi, but it was nothing. I mean, nobody cared about it. But then I brought, when I was back in running a restaurant in Iowa, and I put this fried strawberries on the menu, and it was okay. But then that particular year, it was 1990 somewhere, I don't remember exact year, but the Ragbri came to town, and that time the Iowa boy, Chuck Offenberger, mm-hmm. he was going, you know, in front of the Ragbri and doing the reviews on the restaurants, and he put on his column that everyone to try the fried strawberries when they get to Fort Madison. And that was it. And then it was just took off. So, you know, of course, you know, I hate to say that. So we're getting a healthy fruit and making it a little bit of unhealthy, but it's fun. It's almost like the state fair food. And I'm keep telling, one of these days I'm going to take it to the state fair. We sell a lot when I had the restaurant. So it's literally frying a strawberry, but yet learning the art of how not to bruise or hurt or overcook that strawberry. And we do that, we accomplish that by putting a heavy coat around it. So you have the nice crunch of almost like a donut outside, but yet inside it's a real strawberry.
All right. So you have the recipe and a video on how to do it on our website as well. And we got this tip. We were talking earlier about doing some improvisation with recipes. And Kevin Adams sent this tip. He said, I'm not a chef, but I only occasionally use recipes when cooking, and I discovered a good way to work out what herbs go together is a simple sniff test. If you hold two different herbs up to your nose, one per nostril, and sniff in, the smells will blend or they won't. Only use combinations that smell good together, and you'll be off to a good start. Katie, what do you think? The sniff test is a good plan?
I like that. I like that a lot. And I would also say, too, just in general, I like to use nature as a guide, and things that are in season at the same time usually taste really good together. Like, it's no accident that, speaking of strawberries, that like strawberries and rhubarb, you know, are ready at the same time.
Together, right?
Yeah, radishes and dill, stuff like that. So yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, another recipe that you shared with us is a recipe for a smoothie. And I think smoothies are a great place to really start experimenting and coming up with flavors that you like. So you have a recipe that you shared for a specific kind of smoothie on our Facebook page and on our Twitter feed. But Katie, what's the basic thing that you need to make a smoothie work if that's something you want to experiment with?
Yeah, I feel like frozen bananas are kind of the perfect base for smoothies. They'll thicken it and add a little sweetness, and they're also going to be fairly mild enough that, you know, you can add other things and it won't taste like a banana smoothie in case you don't like that. And then some kind of liquid, so you could use a milk of your choice, or coconut water is always fun too. And then, yeah, just some kind of frozen, and it doesn't have to be frozen, but it helps make it colder and blend a little bit nicer. Frozen fruit, even frozen vegetables. I mean, I've, you know, things like fresh spinach are good. A little splash of maybe apple juice or another kind of fruit juice just to sweeten it and add a little more flavor. You could throw in like some nuts, or, you know, maybe a handful of like chocolate chips if you wanted to make it a little bit more of a dessert. But I'd say, you know, for sure the frozen bananas and then some kind of liquid and then just that, the things that you want to highlight.
All right. So you need something liquid to blend things up. That's an important thing. And you need something kind of creamy. And I mean, I know a lot of people add yogurt. There are some people who add ice cream.
Sure.
But the banana actually acts as a creamy element in a smoothie if you want to experiment with that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if you put ice cream in a smoothie, it's a milkshake.
I think that's probably a good argument there. So we only have a couple of minutes left. If you know, this is right now, we're in June. We've got a lot of different things coming into season. Strawberries are ripe and ready for the picking. We've almost got raspberries. We've almost got tart cherries out there. Katie, what are you most excited about making this time of year?
This time of year, let's see. So we just got done with asparagus. So we pickled a bunch of asparagus to have that around.
Did we just lose Katie? Oh, you disappeared on us for just
a second.
It's okay.
Sorry, I think I accidentally did something. Anyway, so let's see. Well, I'll just cut right to the chase and tell you that I'm always most looking forward to tomatoes every summer. That's just what I'm holding out for and what I hope lasts as long as it can, given the weather. And so those are coming up really soon. So yeah, fresh Iowa tomatoes are my favorite.
All right, Kumar, what are you most excited about this time of year?
Actually, you know, I'm a big herb garden man. And so I have, you know, the basil, thyme, rosemary, parsley. And so I use a lot of those on my cooking. You know, before, like in the wintertime, you had to go to the grocery store and get something really wilted or something. So just picking out right from your backyard and then coming and putting onto the dishes. And I mean, that is heaven. That's something I love about Iowa.
Kumar Wickramasinghe of Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison, Katie Meyer of Trumpet Blossom Cafe in Iowa City. You can go to our website, Iowa Public Radio. Just look for Talk of Iowa. Or you can go to our Facebook page or our Twitter feed, and you can find recipes for fried strawberries, oat cookies, and a great smoothie. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.